Well, here we are again, and we've been doing a series on the baptism in the Spirit, and this is part three. We did part one, which was to do with the children of Israel, slightly different for them, under the old covenant. And then we looked at last time Jesus and the disciples, and today we're going to look at you and me. Are you ready for this? So, we mentioned last time that baptism in the Spirit and the kingdom of God are really totally intertwined. And so I'm going to start this morning just by looking at one or two issues with regard to the kingdom of God. So we set the scene, as it were. Let's just look at first at Matthew chapter 3. This is to do with John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So here these folks, they've been waiting for centuries. And John says to them, "Hey, time to get yourself ready, get yourself sorted out, for the kingdom is near. It's coming. There's a job to be done. There's going to be something happen." I wonder what you think about the kingdom of God. I guess that if I went around and said to you, "What is the kingdom of God?" I'd get a fair few answers this morning. It's one of those sort of, it's a little bit hard to grab hold of. And I know I said last time, the kingdom of God is a place where God is in control. Let's look what Jesus said. Jesus said this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Next, thy kingdom come." What does that mean? It means, we got the next verse, just as a matter of interest. "Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what the kingdom is about. That's what it means. One of the dilemmas is for us is over many years of history, we separate all these things up and we start saying, what does an individual word in the Bible mean? You know, if it said that Jesus went down to the shops to Sainsbury's, we'd completely dissect it and work it out and wonder why he didn't go to Asda instead of Sainsbury's and all that sort of thing. No, he just went to get some food. Because he was hungry. Do you understand what I mean? So here we are. Your kingdom come. Make it like here, like it is in heaven. That's what it means. And it doesn't mean, "Lord, let your kingdom come over the whole world. Let everybody..." No. Let's be real. Your kingdom come means, let your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven, right now, here in this place, in me. Amen. Not tomorrow, not some other place. Lord, let heaven touch earth right now in me. That's where your kingdom is for each one of us. And we have to take hold of that, brothers and sisters. We've got to do that. And just to add to it, so you know. And then the very next thing we pray for, Jesus says, is to, "Lord, give me today my daily bread. Lord, give me everything I need in order for that to happen. Whether it's physical or spiritual, whatever it is, let your kingdom come in my life right now, here, and give me everything I need for it. Mostly not food, mostly not food, certainly in this country, and certainly with me, but mostly your spirit here, right now, in me. That's what I need for your kingdom to come here, right now, in me. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Give me your word, Lord. Your word is food and drink." So God's plan, right from the beginning of time, was to establish his kingdom. This book is about kingdom. It starts in the first chapter of Genesis about kingdom, with God populating his kingdom, his then kingdom, with Adam and Eve. And it ends in Revelation 22 with his kingdom being fulfilled and us being there and all the saints praising his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So that was the plan. The plan went wrong. Adam and Eve, as we know, decided to do their own thing. The saddest day in history was when God took them to the entrance of the kingdom and said, "You have to go outside." And he put angels with flaming swords there so they couldn't get back. Can you imagine that? And he told them to populate. He told them to be fruitful and to fill his kingdom with people. And now they were put out. Later on, the children of Israel, we've been talking about them, and they went and they didn't do what was required. And one day, they went to Samuel and they said, "Samuel, we want a king." Pardon? Pardon? "Well, we want a king like everybody else." "But don't you realize you already have a king? This is his kingdom and he is the king." "Oh, no, no, no. We want an ordinary king." And God said to Samuel, "Don't worry, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. Fancy God saying, God said, they are rejecting me. They are setting my kingdom aside. They want one of their own." And brothers and sisters, that's precisely what they got. And in historical terms, it didn't last long. And then a new kingdom came, and Jesus came. And Jesus said, "I'm come preaching the kingdom." And John the Baptist said, "It's coming." And Jesus sent the disciples out, as we heard last time, and said, "Say to the people, the kingdom of God has come. And to those who reject it, say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's come right by your door and you missed it." The kingdom of God. And now, oh dear, now we are his disciples and we've got the mandate. Now it's up to you and I. Now we're the people that Jesus sends out and says, "Go and do it. Go and build the kingdom." Are you ready for that? Have you done it already? Why should I do that? Do you know, I'm saved. I'm okay. The Lord's good. I can come to church Sunday by Sunday. Do you know, a lot of Christians take that option. If we go back a long way, you'll remember that option takes you and leaves you in the wilderness, and you die in the wilderness. I want to remind you too, of the parable of the talents. Do you remember the parable of the talents? Jesus came and, a guy came and he gave three people different sorts of talents, didn't he? He gave to one, he gave 10, and another, he gave 5, and another one, he gave 1. Then he went away. And then a year later or whenever, he comes back and he says, "Hey, guys, what have you done with your talents?" And the guy with the 10 says, "Hey, I've got another 10. And the guy with 5 says, or the lady with 5 says, "And I've got 5. And he says to the other one, "Well, what have you got? You only had 1, I know, but what did you do? "Oh, well, I buried it. I just sat here and thought, oh, isn't that nice? I've got a talent. Put it in my pocket. To the first two, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. He wasn't so complimentary with the third. Talents. We've been asked to do something with what God has given us. There's a verse in Amos where Amos is prophesying and he's saying to the leaders of Israel, woe to you who are at ease in Zion. Woe to you who are doing nothing. Woe to you who are just sitting there and thinking everything's fine, it's great, it's okay. Woe to you. You need to rise up and do something. Of course, they didn't. So we're here to build the kingdom. We're here to build his kingdom. Lest any of you are mistaken, we are not here to build the kingdom of Robin Baker. We're not even here to build the kingdom of Oasis Redditch or Bromsgrove. We're here to build his kingdom. His kingdom. It's not about us. It's about him. And I want to tell you this morning that you can't do it in your own strength. You might be able to build Robin's kingdom to an extent in your own strength. We might be able to build the church here in our own strength to an extent. But we won't build his kingdom in our own strength. So I want to just look at one or two scriptures now. Luke 3, verse 16. It's just to remind us. So John, this was in the same passage after he'd said, the kingdom of God is coming. He then says, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Acts 1 and verse 5. This is Jesus talking now. Right, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. And then we know in Acts 2 and verse 4, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I want to deal with one issue here. Two of those scriptures talked about being baptized in the Spirit, and the last one says that they were filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say they were baptized in the Spirit. So what is the relationship between baptism and filling? Because we know later on, and I mention it in a minute, that we're told by Paul to keep on being filled. Okay, so what's the relationship between those two? First of all, I want to just tell you a short true story. It's about a guy who died a few years ago now. His name was Samuel Doctorian. He was an Armenian, a real man of God. Some of the stories he can tell were fantastic. But this was one small story that he shared. And he was walking alongside the sea one day. And he was very, very good with words of knowledge, just talking to the Lord, conversing with the Lord. And he's walking along the shore, and the Lord said to him, what do you see, Samuel? So he looked around, and he said, oh, I can see a bottle. Oh, right, okay. He said, I want you to pick up the bottle and throw it into the sea. So he picked up the bottle, and he threw it as far as he could throw it, and there it was bobbing in the sea. He said, so what can you see now, Samuel? So he said, well, I can see the bottle and I can see it bobbing in the sea. Right, okay. So then there was silence for a few minutes. And then the Lord said to him, what can you see now, Samuel? And he said, I can just see the sea. And the Lord said, Samuel, when I'm in you and you are in me, they will only see me. I've got something a bit different this morning. I've got an experiment. I don't think I can hold this hand this, so I shall need Pastor Robin to assist me. This is my pretty assistant. Give him a clap. You can face that way. The word baptize is not a spiritual word in Greek. It's just an ordinary, regular word. And it means to dip. And it was used for anything dipping, but one of the main uses was when they used to do, you know, Lydia used to, she was a seller of purple. Do you remember that? They used to dip the cloth into the dye. And it was, so the actual Greek word was that you take the cloth and you baptize it. And you can imagine she puts it in and she pokes it around. Now, I wanted you to watch this. This is you, okay? Empty? Okay. I'm going to, watch what this is. I'm going to baptize this in the water, okay? I'm going to baptize it in the water. So I'm going to just put that in there. Shove it in. I'm going to get my fingers a little bit wet. Now, you can show it to the congregation. Thank you. So, now here's the interesting thing. It's very simple and yet very profound. When you get baptized in the water, you get filled. Oh, wow. The glass is full. The word dip was also used when they used to take a glass for wine or a jug for wine and they baptized it in a big pot, if whatever, and they put it in and poured it out. They baptized it in the wine, it came out full. You baptize and you get filled at the same time. Is that clear? Thank you, miss. Thank you. So the two are actually one and the same. It's like a coin with different sides. When you are baptized, you get filled at the same time. And you can't get filled without being baptized. Because you have to dip yourself in the water again in order to get filled up. Is that clear? Can you see that? So Ephesians 5 verse 18 says what we've already said. Don't get drunk on wine, which is debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Baptize yourself in the Spirit and be filled. Not once, because we know that it's a continuous tense. You go on doing it. In what way has the Lord given you your life? We talk in terms of, I'm so many years old. Do you know, God never ever talks in terms of how many years old. It's always how many days you have. God gave a day as the unit of time. Day by day, day by day, day by day, we need to do that. Day by day, you immerse yourself, you baptize yourself in the Spirit, day by day. And you are filled day by day. If you get poured out, you fill yourself again, twice a day. Do you remember when Jesus... When the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and he's there in the crowd and he said, oh, somebody touched me. They said, well, there's lots of people touching you. And he said, oh, no. I felt something go from me. I felt the Spirit be moved from me to someone else. I now need to be filled again. Fill me up again, Lord, so that I can do your works, so I can do what you want. There's one other issue I want to just raise. That's why I've got another glass. The problem is that I can only be completely filled if I'm completely empty. What happens if I've got a whole pile of rubbish in here? What happens if it's full of stones and dirt? What happens if it's full of the weights that we mentioned last week that just hold on to us day by day and week by week? Ooh, dear, I didn't fill it up with dirt. But then it becomes a bit like a drink you go and buy out when they fill the glass with ice first. And you do that and it's all gone because it's just ice. Then there isn't much spirit. There isn't much room. And Jeff already mentioned when in communion about the need for us to get rid of the dirt. Empty the dirt away. Lord, cleanse me again. Lord, cleanse me, Lord. I just want to be completely empty for you to fill. So I'm going to conclude. I'm going to do something in a minute, but I want to just go on to a few more scriptures just to remind ourselves. The first one is Luke 14, verse 27. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is by way of remembering what we've done before. In order to get rid of the dirt, the biggest amount of dirt is called self. And Jesus says to take up the cross daily, his cross. Take up my cross and follow me. Follow me. Put aside yourself and follow me. Here's another one, Romans 6 and verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God. Reckon, count, exercise faith and say, Lord, I no longer have to be enslaved to this. I no longer have to be filled up with rubbish. I no longer have to be filled up with dirt. No, I'm going to count that as all gone. And that I'm a new creation in Christ. And I'm going to be clean for you to fill. I'm going to be alive in you instead. I'm going to choose that. Let's go on. Philippians, well-known passage. Your attitude, going on from what I've just said, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Carry on. Who, being in the nature of God, did not consider equality. Carry on, let's go on a bit. But made himself nothing. Taking on the form of a servant, the nature of a servant. Hey, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. I've come to serve you, not to serve my own purpose, but I've come to serve you. And being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Right? Then we humble ourselves. We take on the nature of a servant and we humble ourselves and become obedient. Lord, let your will be done in me now. On earth as it is in heaven. Let me be obedient to your voice. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. Paul puts it all together here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that we've been talking about, in view of the way we've praised the Lord this morning and all the things we've praised him for, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm yours. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. Allow it to be changed by the Spirit so that you have that attitude, so that you are humble, so that you want to be obedient. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Oh, right, there it is again. Then you will be able to know what the will of God is. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth, in me, now, as it is in heaven. I need to know what the will is in order to do it. And we do it by submitting ourselves. We do it by becoming obedient. We do it by having that same attitude. Your good, pleasing and perfect will. So we put the scriptures together. And now listen to the words of Jesus, which we've said, or you've heard me say many times. So Jesus says to the disciples, I only say what I hear the Father saying. Oh, right. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. I only do the things that I see Father doing. All he's saying is, I'm here and I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm doing on earth what the will of Father is in heaven. He's saying simply, do you know, guys, I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm just walking in the Spirit. And I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing his will here and now on earth, right now. So that wherever Jesus went, he did that thing and he did that thing. Sometimes he healed them all, but not often. He bypassed one and spoke to another. Oh, right, because I'm just doing the will of Father. I'm just in tune with what he's saying and doing. And I'm just responding to that because I'm full of the Spirit. And because my desire is to build his kingdom and to do what he wants on earth. So, my prayer is, and I hope it's your prayer too, Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, in me and through me, wherever I go. And to do it, though, I need to be full of the Spirit. I need to be immersed in the Spirit. I need to be baptized in the Spirit. I need to let go of self and say, Lord, it's none of me and it's all of you. Amen. Now we're going to just want to give an opportunity for whoever wants to respond. So we're going to just do the things that we've done once or twice before. And anybody who wants to be, who's never been filled with the Spirit and who wants to do that, never been baptized in the Spirit, and you want to be baptized in the Spirit, or if you feel that you've completely got yourself unfilled, as it were, and you want to be filled again, we're going to come down here and you can just come past us, as it were, to be baptized again and to be filled with the Spirit. So we'd like the worship. Would the worship group like to come and I'll let you think of a song and play it. And while we're doing this, thanks, Dave. And is Esther about and Jane? We'll just come out here. And we're going to, as it were, make a sea or a make something look as if you can walk through it and be baptized. And anybody who wants to do that, if you'd like to come, you can just line up here and we'll do that if anybody wants to respond to that. Yeah. So anybody wants to do that? Anybody wants to be filled with the Spirit? Thanks.